Today we're going to talk about having authority. And we're going to look at the readings that we had. And I'm going to preach from the pulpit for two reasons. Number one, that's where I feel the most comfortable. But that's also where the congregation gives certain people the authority to preach from there. And the church at large has given me that, the district here, the circuit, and now this congregation has given me that authority. What you're looking at is a pulpit that is in the Wittenberg Chapel in beautiful Germany, in Wittenberg, Germany. This is the pulpit where Martin Luther preached from 500 years ago. Not quite. The first one burnt in a fire. This is the new one. It was carved in 1624. In Europe, if something was only made in 1624, that's considered new. And it's a beautiful, beautiful pulpit. And there at the bottom of the pulpit is the grave of Martin Luther. Can you imagine what it would be like to stand over and to preach with Luther at your feet? I don't, because they wouldn't let me up there. I said, but I'm a pastor, and they said they didn't care. You see, only certain ones that have been authorized by that particular congregation were allowed to go into that pulpit. They did allow me to go into the lectern, which I have a picture of that too, but it's not nearly as impressive. But I think about that, and I said to them, well, why don't you let us up there? And they say, because pastors have been taking pieces out of the altar and taking it home. So even though we're given the authority, we don't always use it correctly. Today I'm going to speak to you about who has the authority and where did we get it from anyway. And when we think of authority, we do a lot of different thinking back and forth. I'm going to try this new technology. Let's see if I can do it. Well, that blinked anyway. There we go. Our authority came from our mothers to begin with. I mean, mothers are the first ones usually that cuddle and hold you and tells you all kinds of things. I remember some of the things that my mother used to tell me. She used to grab me by my ear and she'd look behind them and she said, I could plant potatoes back here. And she also would say to me, I'm not your maid. I knew that. My mother also would say, if your friends all jumped off a cliff, would you jump off that same cliff? And perhaps those familiar sayings are really well known to you. You know that when you hear your parents and they tell you things, you learn from them. I remember one of the things I heard a mother say here in church. I thought it was great. The kids were running around and she said, just wait till you have kids of your own. I like that one. And you weren't born in a barn, were you? Close the door. And the one I liked the most, the one that my mother would utter, and we couldn't say anything about it. She'd say, you have to do it because I'm your mother, and I told you, and that's why. Each of those statements are expressions that have been passed down from generation to generation, and they express authority. The authority, however, is weaker in some people and stronger in others. It really kind of depends. I've heard parents say, particularly in grocery stores, okay, kids, I really mean it this time. Stop running around. And you know what happens? Nothing. The kids continue to run around. Or else I hear them say, I don't know what that means, but they say, that's one, and the kids smile and grab something else. And they say, that's two, and I think they're helping their mother count. You see, not every parent seems to have the same authority that other parents have. I've also seen in a room full of people, a mother would quietly say, children, come. And all of her children would come right to her. She didn't yell, she didn't threaten, she didn't do anything. She had the authority. And when we have the authority, we have to remember we have a choice. And the choice is either good or evil. It can be strong or it can be weak. When we think about that, that's the way it is all the time. When we exercise authority negatively, not only upon others, but also upon ourselves sometimes. And who do we get that authority from is what I'm going to asked today. The Old Testament, we hear today that Isaiah had the authority to speak the word and let the people know about righteousness and know that he indeed was a prophet. The gospel reading concerns itself with the authority that Jesus held, an authority that allowed Jesus to command an evil something to depart and to teach in a manner unlike that the scribes and Pharisees ever heard before. As Christians, each one of us have that same authority granted to us by God. We can speak in his name. We are called by Jesus to go out and preach. He knocks at the door and he asks us to answer, and he's there. Jesus has given us authority as a pastor even to forgive sins. He said to St. Peter, he said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus gives a tremendous power and authority there. So what happens to us? What happens to the church? What happens to the people of God that they fail to exercise the authority? The power speaks for God's help, to help us heal, to help us while others aren't real clear what to do. We are clear because we have the authority. Sometimes we use it badly. Sometimes we take a kind of Christ and we paint it and we get people to follow it. There's a man named Jim Jones in Guyana who led a whole bunch of people to kill themselves in the name of Jesus, which was wrong. He was a false prophet. And David Koresh has been on TV again lately at Waco. Well, a whole lot of people followed him because they thought he was a prophet and he was speaking for God. What kind of authority does he have? Well, let me talk to you a minute about authority. And to do that, I'll tell you a little story about an army man, a man who had been a heavy drinker and was mean. He had a temperament of a particularly vicious sergeant. And after a long time, the colonel was there as he looked around, and he decided that he had to stop being mean. He was speaking as one who changed and decided to allow Christ into his life, and his whole life changed. And he was speaking in front of a group of medical people, and he said to them that he has changed, his personality has changed. He now is temperate where once he had been intemperate. He was considerate where once he had been severe. He had concern for others when once he had been selfish and self-serving. A psychiatrist listened to him and said, I don't know who you've been talking to, but I can tell you it's a medical scientific fact that people cannot change their personalities, that you are stuck with the personality you have as a small child. Well, the colonel looked at him and he says, well, he says, that might be true, sir. He says, but I can tell you this. I'm under new management. With that, the psychiatrist didn't know what to say. If you think about it, that's what happens to us. What happens to the average Christian that has so little influence on the lives of others to say that there are people in need and yet they can't do anything about it? They stand and watch. Perhaps they need to be under new management as well. We can't solve our problems on our own power. Sometimes we try, using our own insights and our own wisdom. And once we see that the power and authority that it takes isn't there, we need to do more. We need to look at who is our life's managers. We need to understand that when we are in charge of ourselves, we go nowhere. We can't do. It doesn't work. But when Christ is in charge, when he is the manager of us, everything seems to work out. Everything works out for good in all people. The power and the authority of God that God gives to man to act upon all things is there. That power creates, it heals, and it does good instead of evil. It comes from the Lord, and it is revealed in Holy Scripture. All other power and authority is either a corrupted version of this true power and authority, or it is the power and authority that comes from evil. In Deuteronomy, when the people of Israel are promised another prophet like Moses, they are told that they should heed that prophet and do all that he says, because what he says comes from the Lord. They are also told to be aware of false prophets, of those who speak the name of other gods, of those who presume to know God and yet have no idea. A word that God has given them is not there. They are warned, in other words, not to listen to people who sound good in addition to teaching what God has taught, but then teach other things like you can have forgiveness and that forgiveness carries no weight with it, that you can have grace, but the grace is cheap. That's what Jones did. That's what Koresh did. They both claimed to know that the end of this age was coming. They both claimed that Jesus had told them what to do, and they were wrong. They're warned not to listen to those people, and we're warned not to listen to people who are like that. Jesus himself warns us in the Sermon on the Mount. He told us to beware of false prophets who comes to you in sheep clothing, but are ravenous wolves. Think about that. They look like they're doing good. They look like they're saying everything is good, but you know it's not. You know that there's no call there. You know that what they're saying is false. Jesus says that we need to follow him, to take up our cross and follow him. And that deals with the topic of people who really can exercise power and authority over us. Whether it's godly power, we don't want it, and yet sometimes they still do. But what about the situation where so many Christians seem to find themselves? The situation where they seem powerless. They seem to have no authority. They seem to have no influence over evil at all. They seem as if they can't change a thing that they have. I tell you this, I think they need a new manager. I think they need to remember that Jesus Christ is the true manager. In the gospel reading today, we saw a man who was possessed by an evil demon. The people around him knew what he needed, but they didn't know how to do it. The demon possession must have been pretty obvious stuff because everybody agreed that was what was happening. They didn't want it to happen, but that's the way it was, and they were powerless to do anything. I'm wondering what that would have been like to stand there and watch them and to know that this poor guy, somebody must do something, but we didn't know what to do. That's kind of like what we say about a lot of situations. We say, someone should do something about the violence in school. Someone should do something about the hungry in the third world. Someone should do something about the rampant opiate problem that teenagers and young people are having. Someone should do something about battered women. Someone should do something about all the kids out there who are going astray. And then Jesus came, and he commanded the demon to come out of the man, and it did. The spirit obeyed him, and the man was healed. Jesus had the authority and the power needed to make a difference. He had the authority and the power of God, a power that can change every situation and heal any person. Jesus still has that same power and authority today, and he offers it to us. He calls us to do the work of God in this new world. He calls us to employ it, to heal, to teach, to bring justice, and to grant mercy. We put ourselves at Jesus' disposal. And when we go forth in this world, when we act according to the teachings he has given us, when we pray and study on the Word of God, and we ask God to use us, then we accomplish his will. The demons around us will begin to disappear. I want to show you this quote that's both from George Washington and the Bible. It says, make for sure you are doing what God wants you to do, then do it with all of your strength. The trick is that we need to get in tune with what God wants us to do and say. That means that we need to spend more time than we currently are seeking the will of God. It requires a commitment equal to that which is being prepared today in the Super Bowl. We need to prepare for the Super Bowl of our life. We need to make a commitment to read God's Word regularly. We need to come together and pray with the other saints. We need to learn more, not about sports, not about what's going on in the world, but about what our new manager would have us do. This week, I'm telling you, when you heed that call, do so with the authority that Christ gives you. Don't try to do what God asks you to do in his way. Instead, do it. do know that you can discover what God wants you to do and say right there in His Word. And then I say, boldly do it and boldly say it. And when you do, you'll be speaking and acting with the authority of Christ under His management. And wonderful things will begin to happen. Amen.